And it's great to have you back with us again for another episode of Zav Chat. And today we're at the junior school and we welcome our college captain, Jared, and our principal, Mr. William Doherty. Bill, introduce our special guests. Great to have them.
It certainly is and a great to shine a real torch on our junior school at Burke Hall. So love to introduce to us Ben Clark. So Ben's the house coordinator, but also coordinates sport in from kinder to four. But Ben, particularly the house coordination role today is our focus. So welcome.
Thanks, Bill. And thanks for having me down here just to really share our journey. It's happening down at Burke Hall.
And also lovely to introduce Greg Mulholland. Greg's our Head of Science, Technology and Innovation and leader of our STEM program. So really looking forward to getting into the technical side there, Greg. Great having you as well.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here as well.
Fantastic. So look, let's get into it because there's been a lovely transformation or evolution really probably happening at our junior school. You know, you move 300 plus boys off the campus as the bigger bodies and all of a sudden there's these new spaces to bring to life, and we'll bring that out with both of our guests today. But Ben, the house system, it's so synonymous right throughout Xavier College, but it's had a real sort of rebirth and rebranding. So maybe just take us through the process that's been occurring down there.
It certainly did. So look, when we moved the 7 and 8s out to the new Costco building, we had a chance. It was sort of a bit of a blank canvas, really, in terms of what we could design and build. So previously, there was the 8 houses, but it was a little bit different. From prep to 4, they were in 4 houses, and then they'd got to middle years and they were in different houses. So there was no real connection and there was no real flow right from prep to 4. So what I really wanted to do, because I worked in both spaces, what I really wanted to do was design something that really connected everyone. It brought a real buy-in from all the way from kinder, because they're involved in the program as well, right up until grade 6. So our grade 6 lead the program, but I put it back onto the students and worked with Brett pretty and Jared Dowling pretty closely in terms of what we could do. And he basically said to me, let's go wild with this one. Let's go broad and let's go deep and let's bring the students in and let them drive the program. So we had the names of 4 very famous and very popular Jesuits. So we got the names, but then we put it on to the students to design their colours.
Okay.
And we gave them choice and we said, right, what are we going to do? What are going to be the colours that stick around forever? And we spoke about the culture and the history, and we've really taught them just the meaning behind everything. They picked the colours, and then we had a competition to design the shields. It's a really student-led program.
I've seen some of the entries for the design. There's some very talented boys.
There is some very talented boys, but they really capture the story in their designs as well. So the meaning behind everything, there's real buy-in and there's real connection from everyone in the school about the program. So where we're going with this is there is no limit. We're off and running, and we recently just had our first whole school event, which was our house cross country out on Studley Hall, our Studley grounds. That was won by Glowry, which was one of our houses, and Hurtado, Fernando and Arupe, the other 3 houses.
It's wonderful, and it's a flavour then that goes right through a student's experience throughout Xavier College. I love the thoughtfulness that's gone into sort of 8 to 4, but then the stories that have evolved and the student leadership, as you've mentioned, Ben. But tell us about, you know, this is all about student experience and what you see them getting out of the program. So maybe 2 questions. You know, how are the bigger boys down there of the 5s and 6s? What little meaningful ways have they got of connecting over with the junior students? Because that, I think, happens on a few different levels as well.
There's a couple of ways. So once a month we run a house assembly that is run by the 2 house captains. So they run the whole session and prep to grade 6 come and attend that assembly. So everyone's involved. And whilst we're all part of the Xavier family, they're now part of a separate family. And so that family then ties in, which I think is the best part of the program. It's not just a sport program. It captures in everyone's interest, from music to performing arts. It brings in debating. So it's the one overarching family within each house. And everyone, the grade 6s really look after the preps, and the preps look up to the grade 6s. And you walk from one end of Burke Hall, well, my homeroom's down at one end, and I walk all the way down to the other end, and 15 students would stop and say, hey, what house are you in? and everyone's talking about what house they're in, and now they're just part of this real family now.
Back on my 3AW days, Neil Mitchell would often say, don't bury the lead. It's a very journalistic term, but basically we haven't yet told our listeners what are the four colours, so I don't want us to bury the lead. What are they, Ben?
Oh, no, let's definitely not do that. So we actually launched them with a little bit of a real exciting. So I did a gender reveal. So we had the balloons up at a whole school assembly. So we calculated all the votes. So a Rupe, which was voted, and that's actually a light, an aqua.
Aqua, okay.
Aqua. So, yeah, very exciting. And the colours look brilliant altogether. Fernando, after Richie Fernando, a famous Jesuit, that is pink or magenta, as we like to call it. And then Hurtado, that is a lime green. And then Glowry, it's after a famous Jesuit who was born in Victoria, Mary Glowry, and that is actually red. So they're our four colours.
So there's great vibrancy as well, isn't there, that comes to life, and the students give it that energy. Jared, as I throw over you, I mean, it's great hearing of the vibrance and the connection between our students, because that's what's replicated also on the senior school.
That's right. So I heard you were talking about the sense of you sort of get in that house now with the 7 year levels all coming together, and with the older boys being role models for the really young ones. And I think we sort of get this sort of a sense of connection to your house and family at the senior campus with tutor group and whatnot. So do you think that sense of a home in your house is being translated over to Birkhall, and is that preparing boys maybe to move from one home to the next when they come to the senior campus, do you think?
Absolutely. I think that's what. And I talk especially to the grade sixes about what's our next step, where are we going on this journey? And for the preps, it's moving into grade one, and for the sixes, it's then moving up to taking that sense of pride and then bringing it and only extending it further once they get to secondary school. And it's buy-in from here and then transferring it over to the next step.
And so it'll be lovely just to look and listen in to see how this journey evolves, not only the activities, but how these little connections really come to life. But maybe, Ben, just the last one, you know, have you, you were mentioning moving from one end of the campus and the students engaging and talking about, you know, which little team are they part of as part of a bigger Xavier team. You know, you can obviously see the students really buying in and giving them a sense of connection and relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've really noticed a change. Now that we've got a lot more space, you can sort of step back and see a little bit, and you can really see that change, and you can see what effect it's having on the students and just how happy they are. The excitement we had when we announced that the winner, our very first winner of our very first event, Glowry House, the crowd, it was like grand final day. And the captains got up, they made a speech, and we presented the trophy, and everyone, the whole house erupted on the oval. I'm surprised you didn't hear it down here.
It's great seeing just young people just being enthusiastic and in the moment, isn't it? So I think the Roman army would still, I've often said the Roman army would still be ruling the earth if house points were, you know, were given out. But you're mentioning a lovely point of now being able to look with a fresh lens on the campus, because it's an extraordinary campus. Our junior school at Birkhall, there's space, you know, there's opportunities now to really flourish. And talking of which, it might be a nice segue to bring Greg in, because part of the specialist spaces that we've always had, and we pride ourselves on that specialist input that comes into a junior school education, but we've been able now, Greg, to take that to a whole new level. We had two science labs, and one of those has now been converted probably to something close to your heart in a tech. Take us through the space transformation.
Absolutely. I was very eager, actually, whenever we shifted spaces, and I saw that we were going to be able to take one of those science labs and convert it over into a digital technology space. A real fan of STEM programs, merging them to create clubs that allow for thinking, that bigger project-based thinking, design-based thinking. The idea of getting an opportunity to play with technology and to see how it can fit and fill our lives. And so it was very exciting whenever we got the opportunity to take one of those labs and convert it to a space where the boys can walk in. And I know you've had an opportunity to walk through the lab, and when you walk in, there's hundreds of robots scattered about the room. There's projects half built, but then there's 3D printers running and lights everywhere. So it's a space where boys walk in and they get this feeling of play. this idea that you go, I want to touch everything in this room, and that's what I want. I want an experience of being excited when you walk in and see science and technology actually moving and acting. So,
as you mentioned, we had a great moment where Greg was just finishing one of his classes, and so I was lucky enough to be taking a group of prospective families around. That was a wonderful occasion, but watching the, you know, the expression of the boys' faces, yeah, they're reluctant to leave a room, and they're still talking about what they've just been doing as we walked in. Greg, tell us, because there's a lot happening in the room, and there's a lot of, you know, that great creative thinking and design thinking that you're going on about. Just take us through some of the things that you're actually engaging with our students.
Absolutely. So we're in the initial stages of building our STEM club. So we've been trialing out days. Right now it's running for a couple of days, and we're hoping to expand it to a third. So we include some of our year 3-4 boys and start incorporating our prep to twos as well. But right now what they're doing is we have a lot of a sea of projects where the boys get an opportunity to choose during their lunches to come in and work on an extended project, something that we don't always have the opportunity to do in our classroom. And we have projects ranging from all the main areas of Digitech, coding, robotics, electrical engineering, computer sciences. Some of the projects we're working on, one of the boys just finished, and we're actually working on the code for a Rubik's Cube solving robot. Oh, wow. So it just scans the colors no matter what the setup is, and then it automatically solves it for you. From robots like that to, we have a 6-foot-tall metal robot they're rebuilding, used to be a part of year 8. We have 3D printing. They're 3D printing a few really awesome, exciting objects like Iron Man's helmet, where it even flips open, wow, and turning into a Bluetooth speaker. The idea of just wiring it in and rewiring the LEDs to make it so the eyes light up. And one of the boys was even talking about seeing if we could hack the BIOS to make it so it sounds like Jarvis. And I was like, that would be exciting, but maybe, I mean, a little challenging. We'll talk to some of the teachers here at secondary to see if we can do that. But, you know, from that to full-size arcade machines and seeing what we can build. Three computers are being built, two for gaming and one for more high-end production stuff with 3D, 2D animation, something that I also like doing as well.
I think a lot of our parents who are listening, maybe in the car as they're driving, might be asking these couple of questions that I'm going to ask. One, what is STEM?
Sure.
And what is the difference between STEM and STEAM?
Yes.
Because I often see an A in there.
Yes.
And then I'll give you my second question.
Well, funny enough, the club is actually a STEAM club. I tend to revert towards STEM. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Okay.
The principle is merging those all learning areas and turning them into one thing. Arts is sometimes added in. I particularly like arts.
And that's the A
in.
For STEAM.
That is correct.
Ah, okay.
And the idea being that you need to think about aesthetic when you are designing something. So the arts are important, the look, the feel of something. The idea is to be holistic in the way that you approach creating something. And it really is about creating something. And that's what the STEAM Club is about, or STEM Club, is project-based work. It says, here's your design brief. We want something created. I want you to walk away feeling like you've completed or designed or made something. One of the boys, for example, this was a beautiful story. They decided they wanted to work with a 3D printer. And anytime I let the boys work with a 3D printer, I'm like, you can't just print something exciting. I get it. It's fun. But I want you to design something that's useful. I told them a story about how I once had preps come in and throw away all of my inserts and my tape dispensers. And they're expensive. So I said, hey, can you redesign this for me? And they started trying to measure things. And all we had was fabric tape to measure for fabric. And they had to wind it every time by hand. And they said, this is annoying. So they went and they found a design for something that will spool up a tape measure, a fabric tape. And we just printed it.
Fantastic.
And they said, let's print it. Let's solve it. And they've got, they've now printed it for the 5 pieces of fabric tape we have. So it's useful.
Yeah, that's a great story. Just before, Jared, one other quick one. At the younger end versus the older end, so PEP 1-2, maybe up at the 5-6, looking at the whole continuum, do you notice that a group of boys, say, who are older, prefer one part of this wonderful dynamic and the younger ones maybe another, or is it a real mishmash of people just loving it?
What I tend to find is when we look at younger boys, we tend to find that we aim certain things at them. We give them individual choice. We say, here's a B-bot, which is just a robot where you push the buttons. And they tend to get just that one access, that one little bit of technology. The interesting thing is, and what I've started talking with Prep to Twos and helping build there is access and opportunity. The idea of giving them all of the robots. Say, I'm going to teach you how to use this one. I want you to understand the principles of coding. This happens, then this happens. But once you're done with that, if you like that really complex robot, let's go explore that complex robot. And what I've learned is the more opportunity that you give to students, the greater result you get from them, the better access they get. They start doing things that would blow you away. And I've always been impressed by moments where a student is finding something like that 3D printing object and they suddenly create this thing. And they create it because you gave them opportunity.
That's really interesting.
And that is the whole moral of our story at Xavier, of providing opportunities for students, inspiring learning experiences we often sort of speak about, and then letting dots connect and new experiences and horizons unfold. Jared?
That's right. So obviously it's a bit different from my digital technologies class of year 8 where we learnt to touch type. valuable skill, but
things
not quite.
Have moved on.
Yeah, not quite designing robots and helmets and computers. But I guess this sort of says, well, the boys at the junior school, they're not just learning the foundations in maths and English and science and history, but they're also being challenged to think and to create and to be creative. And so how do you think this reflects sort of Xavier evolving and changing with society, maybe at the same pace but not on a smaller scale, that sort of thing?
Well, I thanks for the question. I really like that. And touch typing has its value, just an FYI. I think everyone at this table probably did touch typing. So I love the question. You know, when I think about being a Jesuit school, being men for others, people for others, this idea of design thinking about going towards an end matters. When I asked the question to students, for example, we're building the arcade machine. So we looked at the logistics of it. So I have a student who's priced out the components, shockingly inexpensive. So if anyone's ever interested in building a home arcade machine, actually not that hard and not that expensive. But the real question actually has to do with the legality of it. A lot of people want to play the, you know, retro arcade games, but they're copyright protected. That was the second question. Can we do it is the first question. Second question is, should we do it? Should we make something where you're going to want to do something that might have a questionable legality, or how do you do it in a way that's legal? And that was the question that I posed to them second. So this process of thinking isn't just about construction. It's about what's the purpose of what you're making. You know, questions that we have around AI and artificial intelligence and design, they're impactful. They matter a lot because it says, how do we interact with this technology in order to make it something useful? And the boys in the end, you know, started looking at games that we could legally acquire on it. Even better, like last year we had a competition for creating video games in year 8. And we said, well, why don't we do a similar competition, but we make it something that can go into an arcade machine? And those are things that if we create them, obviously we can put it in an arcade machine. So it's really about the thinking process.
Brilliant. And that's, again, what we're asking. We're asking our students to question, our students to think, to have an ethical underpinning. And Greg, as you're chatting here, if the foundations are being started here at our junior school, and they're the foundations that continue right the way. You know, year 11 are doing ethics as part of the religious education component, and then tying again faith and ethics and the deeper dimensions of how does this impact on others, and therefore, as we speak so often about men for others, we're thoughtful in how we engage. So it's just brilliant. I do love for both of you, you know, how we've been able to really help to recreate some of these spaces at Burke Hall. Prepta 2 has got its own, you know, beautiful harmony now, and then they're able to move across the Studley Oval where you had your so many of those sporting events. Ben 3 and 4 have got their own precinct. You know, across from them now is a whole new resource area. Languages are studied there. The library's moved in there. The creative arts then are adjacent from that. And 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 in renovated classrooms can now feed down into these spaces and back out. So the junior school really not only is a land of opportunity and these new spaces that have been brought to life, but they have these wonderful specialist inputs that are really asking more of our students and allowing them to think and allowing them to take the opportunities. It's really brilliant to see.
And Greg mentioned the word aesthetics, and even to walk into Burke Hall now, it is a different feel, a different place that's been refurbed in a few areas. It just looks a bit more special and a bit warmer, I suppose, a warmer feel. No, and that's to the great credit of John Lincoln and Leon Moore, who we met a few weeks ago. We might go around the grounds, Bill. I think we're starting to run out of time. So school captain, who hasn't been all that well, so you've done a great job to get in today. Jared, what have we got?
Certainly, Hills. And so this week, there's sort of been an unusual quiet to the college with the year 9s through 11s kicking off their exams and knuckling down for that. And I'm sure a few year 12s with a few sacks to worry about. And also, it's a short week this week with a 4-day long weekend starting on Friday to mark the end of exams. But of course, the annual birthing kits activity will be held on Friday. So hundreds of essential birthing kits will be made by our students and then delivered to our developing nations in Africa. So life-saving equipment there.
So they'll come in on a day off?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yep. And then just to put it on the radar, we've got our house corals happening in the last week of term. So we'll be plugging that a bit more in the weeks to come. Friday the 14th of June, we'll see the Sacred Heart Mission Lunch.
That's a big one. Yeah.
For parents. So already 100 seats booked in for that. So a great fundraiser. And the Year 11 Father and Son Dinner on Saturday night. There are still some tickets available. Saturday the 15th. So a great one for all the Year 11 students. Gauntlets are kicking off next week for Year 10s. And a bye for All Sport this weekend with the long weekend. So a studious but quite laid-back week for the college this week.
No, that's fantastic. That Year 11 dinner, Bill, that was really your idea. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, so I think it's a really seminal time in the formation of our senior students, and they're really going from that sense of upper adolescence and 9 and 10 and being able to cruise their way through school, now getting not only to their VCE years, but then the preparation and leading into to a really significant Year 12, but also the really important role that adult role models play, and particularly male adult role models and the connection of fathers or significant others where their father might not be as accessible, I think is a really important bit of a partnership. Our mothers are so actively involved and they're the key driver of that Sacred Heart Mission that Jared was talking about.
Yeah, sure.
But we all play our roles at various times. It's lovely to be inclusive and bring everyone together, but there are certain times where a father and a son need to have a conversation.
And you were keen for it to be formal, which I thought was interesting as well.
Yeah, I think so. And there's bits of understanding of etiquette and how one holds themselves in a social setting, in a formal setting. There's everything from a laid-back barbecue to being really comfortable in a setting with a series of parameters or etiquettes and other things around it. So really looking forward to those. I loved you saying it's a quiet week, Jared. Not bad when kids are in for birthing kits. There's all sorts of STEM things going on. The house program's going crazy down at the junior school and at obviously many social events as well. And really important connecting. And as AV is all about relationship and community and connection, our parent associations do an unbelievable job of that. It's one of the great veins of the college of how
no doubt.
We enable their connection. We should never take that for granted as well, but obviously Friday and Saturday are two really special social engagements.
I've got a very quick one for both our guests, Bill, and we are a little bit over time, so you only got 20 seconds to answer, Greg, and then Ben. American background, I noted from the accent. How long have you been in Australia, and are you loving it?
I've been here going on 10 years, a little over 10 years, and became a citizen last year, so I'm very excited. I love Australia. It's my home. Though, red, white, and blue does come out quite often. So,
and Ben, one for you, and it's probably the harder one, and that is in this new Burke Hall, P-6 or K-6, what's been your special moment of the year so far? Because it's really starting to hum. I was talking to Brett only yesterday. He's so excited about the way the junior school is flying.
Oh, good question. I think for me, the biggest moment was actually within my homeroom, because I actually take a Year 6 homeroom as well. So just the special stories and just the extra guidance that, because I was a specialist teacher, but just to be able to connect on a much deeper level.
That's great.
So that's been the highlight for me so far this year.
And it's brilliant too, I should say. Greg, I don't know if you get a spare lunchtime, but you're soaked up with your STEM club. Ben, you've gone everything from running some specialist soccer and footy camps and taking boys off to Essendon, and you've got some great connections yourself. You've got a great footy background, and he had one of the McVeighs in. You're speaking to the boys as the Swans came down, and you take the 8 A's and a few special moments of that team too. Yeah. So it's lovely with so many of these things happening that you've brought it right back to that relationship in a classroom with a tutor group and that mentoring and that depth. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and I just think that's what makes a school special. It's the relationships and it's the people within the school that makes it really good.
Greg, thank you. And Ben, thank you. That was another great episode. I say that every time, don't I? And Bill and Jared, we'll see you for our next ZevChat. I think we've got two more in Term 2. One we might do around the Environment Week, but anyway, that can be a surprise for folks. So this has been another great episode of ZevChat, and we'll see you 7 days hence.